right, so let's go ahead and get started. Tonight's lesson is the spiritual growth of a believer. We're going to talk about, first of all, you know, you got to lay the groundwork. And the most important thing, when you talk about the spiritual growth of a believer, the most important thing is that everybody must know that they are a born-again child of God. You know, a lot of people think that they just need to, you know, they make adjustments in their lives. Well, I just need to get back to church. That don't save you. Hello, somebody. Amen. That don't save you. You know, well, I just, you know, I need to correct this and correct that. That don't save you. You've got to have a born-again experience. Everybody must have a testimony, a time that they can point to and say, this was my moment where I gave my life to Christ and I became a born-again child of God. And my life has changed from that moment on. Every believer should be able to do that. If you can't do that, then you need to make it. You need to create a moment and make that happen. Amen. And you know, there's a lot of people that think that you know, they think that that's what salvation is. You know, well, you go to church and try to live right. Salvation is an inward work of the Holy Spirit. It is what the Bible calls the work of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's what salvation is. You know, so we're going to talk about that tonight because that's the point of origin of spiritual growth. All right, so I'm just going to run through these things here. And at the top of the page, when we became born-again people, born-again Christians, our spirit became rejuvenated by the Holy Spirit. We moved from a condition of being spiritually dead to a condition of being spiritually alive. So this new spiritual life is like a seed that must be fed and nurtured in order to produce fruit. I say this all the time. Whatever you feed will grow. If you feed your flesh will dominate you. If you feed your spirit is going to be the dominant factor in your life. Because whatever we feed will grow. So this new spiritual life is like a seed. But a seed is not at full maturity, isn't that right? It's a seed. You know, so salvation is a seed. When we become born again and we receive by supernatural impartation the life of Christ, that life of Christ is a seed on the inside of us. What we do with that seed determines where we go. You know, Jesus talked about this when he gave us the parable of the sower. He said, some fall by the wayside. You know, and he said, seed falls by the wayside. Some seed falls among stony places. You know, some seed falls where there's very shallow ground. And the disciples couldn't understand that. So they asked him for an explanation. And then he told them, you know, he said that, you know, what really is happening in this parable of the sower is that the word of God is sown into people's lives, but it doesn't take root. You know, it's only a superficial experience. And there's a lot of people that have had only a superficial experience. And, you know, when you have a real born-again experience, it's not superficial. It goes deep on the inside, and it's just like a seed. All right, so that seed, see, that's the principle of spiritual growth. What am I doing with that seed? What am I doing with that seed of divine life that is on the inside of me? And it doesn't matter how long we've been Christians. We could be a Christian a month, a year, 10 years, 50 years. That seed continues to grow. It continues to manifest. And it never stops growing. And it will never stop growing until we're on the other side with Jesus in the kingdom of God. All right, so as a born-again believer, you and I must grow spiritually. So the following statements here refer to the growth and development of your spirit. In Ephesians 4, 13 to 15, he says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many of y'all see he's talking about spiritual growth, right? Till we all come to the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no longer children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all things into Him who is the head, and that is Christ. So, following statements refer to the growth and development of your born-again spirit. And these are these first two are from this verse of Scripture. Number one, until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of Christ. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. That means a full functioning body of believers. And we're always striving for that. You know, we're always striving for that. It probably has a dual reference. It's referring to the ultimate unity. You know, when we're gathered in the kingdom of God, every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. You know, but it also has an earthly application that we are all growing and increasing in the things of God and developing a spirit of unity, even in the body of Christ. All right, so we must grow spiritually, and we must keep on growing spiritually until we come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of Christ. Second thing is that we may grow up into Him in all things. You know, everything that we do in the local church, everything, every ministry, every sermon that is preached, every teaching series, everything that we do is to empower the Christ life on the inside of people. Everything. That's what it's all about, is to empower the Christ life. Because if the Christ life is empowered on the inside, then we really begin to live and walk in victory. See, because the bottom line is, it's only the Christ life that can live and walk in victory. You and I cannot. You can't live for God. It's impossible. You can't break the bondage of sin. It's impossible. You know, but the Christ life can, He does, and thank God He's the one who gives us the victory. It's like Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. He said, I have a desire to do what's right. He said, but there's this principle of sin that's working on the inside, and many times it trips me up. It messes me up. So then he said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, I thank God that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gives me the victory. Amen? Isn't that awesome? You know, because we can't do it. It's impossible. So we have to grow up into Him. We have to have the Christ life empowered. All right, the third thing, and this one is, these next points here are based upon 1 Peter 2:2, where he says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes. The greatest example of someone who has really had a conversion experience is they have a desire to learn. That is the great, they have a hunger. There is a hunger on the inside of them. When I became a born-again child of God, I'm telling you, I did not miss a church service. I did not miss a prayer. I mean, you could not keep me out of those things because I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow. You know, there was a conversion experience. And, you know, that's that hunger. That's what he's talking about right here in 1 Peter 2:2. You know, there's a desire. You know, there's a passion for the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And, you know, babies need milk, right? Babies need milk. Well, he's making a reference to those who are newborn babies in the Lord. They need the milk of the word because that's how they grow. So as newborn babies, our spirit, and it's a desire in our spirit. Our spirit has a desire for the Word of God. Number four, we must now grow in grace and increase in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's absolutely no way to grow in grace and increase in knowledge without the Bible. Can't be done. It can't be done. And, you know, we have to understand that that is why this book is so important in our lives. You know, to grow in grace and increase in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've got to have the Word of God. Number five, the key to spiritual growth is that we advance into the depth of the Christ life. Before someone is born spiritually, and this is an important point right here, before someone is born spiritually, reborn spiritually. Before someone is reborn spiritually, they are soul dominated and they are driven by their emotions. And all of the world, see, this is why there's so much fussing, feuding, and fighting in the world. This is why people have attitudes. This is why people have mood swings. You know, they might be cool with you one day, and the next day you might say, man, what did I do? You know, you didn't do anything. It's just that person's emotional makeup, because they are dominated by their soul. See, they are completely dominated by their emotions, what they feel. So they have to feel good to exhibit good characteristics. But someone who is growing spiritually and their spirit has become enlivened by God, those people have joy unspeakable and full of glory, as the Bible says, because they're no longer dominated by their soul. See, they have a spiritual depth, you know, and they are growing in the Christ life. So that life begins to dominate them. But, you know, all of us, before we were born again Christians, we were all dominated by our soul, you know. And that's why music is such a powerful force, because music deals with the realm of the soul, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because we all have a soul. But, you know, but here's the thing we have to understand when you talk about the things of God. See, your spirit is intended to dominate your soul, not your soul dominate your spirit. You know, so when your spirit dominates your soul, then your soul is in a process of renewal. See, that's why David said that he restores my soul. You know, he's the soul restorer. What that really means is to restore one's soul means to bring it into divine alignment. See, the soul begins, it's spirit, soul, body. But the world lives like this: soul, body, spirit. Because the spirit's dead. Their spirit is dead. You know, because it doesn't have the life of God. If you understand what I'm saying to you tonight. You know, so every human being has a spirit, but that spirit is not enlivened because it hasn't been born again. And that's why the Bible says that people are spiritually dead. Does that make sense? Everybody understand what I'm saying? I hope I'm giving enough clarity for that. You know, so everybody has a spirit, but unless that spirit has been touched by the Holy Spirit, then their spirit is dead. Now, they can still, you know, and here's the thing, they can still open their spirit to the occult, you know, to New Age ideology. You know, that they can do things in the realm of the spirit world that applies to their spirit, but their spirit is still spiritually dead because it's not alive unto God. You know, it's a huge, huge, huge difference, you know, and that's why, you know, the Bible teaches us emphatically that we cannot be soul dominated. And I mean, all of us are soul dominated to a degree, and that's why we need the spiritual growth, because it's the spiritual growth that brings it. See, the more we grow spiritually, the less dominated we are by our soul. So the less we are moved by our emotions, you know, the less anger problems we have, you know, the less of these, all these emotionally driven things, that they become less of a factor because our spirit is becoming empowered. Are y'all with me? Our spirit is becoming empowered. We are growing in our spirit. And then our soul falls under the domination of the spirit. See, that's what was so powerful about Jesus. And that's why the devil didn't know how to deal with him. Because Jesus was born into this world without Adam's sin. So he was born into this world not dominated by his soul. He was dominated by his spirit. Because he had the order right. And that's why Satan was so, you know, the Bible teaches us this in the Gospels, right? That Jesus was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Now think of that, a 40-day assault by the devil. 40 days, a relentless assault, because he was trying, you know what he was trying to do? The same thing he did to Adam. He was successful in making Adam become soul dominated. So he was trying to get Jesus to become soul dominated. Get him to make choices and decisions based upon his feeling and his need. But Jesus wouldn't do that. You know, that's why Satan said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Man, you're about to die of hunger here. You know, that's what Satan was throwing at him. You know, but he resisted every single temptation because his spirit, you know, listen, you fast 40 days, his spirit was empowered. He was ready for that fight. And his spirit was empowered. And his spirit was strong. And the Bible says it, Luke 2:52, that he waxed strong in spirit and in favor with God and with man. Hallelujah. So we have to pay particular attention to the level of our spirituality. What is the level of my spirituality? And the only way I can grow spiritually is I have to grow by the Word of God. I have to deepen my relationship with the Lord and have that empowerment taking place on the inside. All right, so what is the real key to spiritual growth? I'm probably going to sound a little bit like a broken record here, just emphasizing more and more the power of the gospel and why it is so necessary. All right, the key to spiritual growth, here's a definition of it. It is the process of being baptized into the person and character of Christ. Romans 6, he says, do you not know that as many of us as are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, this is a great passage of God's Word, and it really gives us the key of spiritual growth, because he says, as many as were baptized into Christ. Y'all see that? Baptized into. What does the word baptized mean? It means to be immersed. As many of you as were immersed into the person of Jesus Christ. We were baptized into his death. You know, and then because we died with him by the work of the cross, we died with him, we were buried with him, and we are raised with him. That's the whole symbolism behind water baptism. And, you know, it paints a picture. Water baptism paints a picture. All right, so this baptism referred to here in Romans 6, it is not just the act of water baptism, but it is the picture of the gospel being evidenced in our lives. Because we are dead to sin. I don't live a life of sin anymore. Y'all with me? I don't live a life of sin anymore. At one time, I lived a life of sin. Now, none of us can say that means that we don't ever sin, because we know that even if you think the thought, right, it's a sin. You can think a sinful thought. You don't have to act upon it, but in the realm of God's law, you know, Jesus told us that, right? He taught us that. You know, he said the law is good, you know, and people can adhere to the Ten Commandments to the best of their ability, but they can't do anything with the problem on the inside. And that's why he said that, you know, that you shall not covet, but then even if a man looks at a woman with lust, Jesus said he's committed adultery where? On the inside, in his heart, in his mind, right? You know, so the baptism, you know, this incredible picture of the gospel manifested in our lives. You know, when we come to Christ and we literally, we die to ourselves. And Jesus defined that. He said, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself. You know, take up his cross and follow after me. You know, we've kind of lost that message of sacrifice today. You know, because a lot of the preaching and teaching today is based upon what the benefits are. You know, well, thank God for the benefits. But we must never lose sight that the pure message of the gospel has always and always will be a message of sacrifice, that you no longer belong to yourselves. You know, when you are a born-again child of God, you don't call the shots in your life anymore, or at least you shouldn't, you know, because he is now Lord of your life. You know, you die to that self-life. You die to that sin life. You know, so the baptism referred to here is not just the act of water baptism. It is a true picture of what happens at salvation when someone becomes a born-again child of God. All right, so number two, water baptism is the symbol of the spiritual union of Christ and the believer. There's a union. You know, we become one with the Lord. And even Jesus taught us that in the Gospel of John when he said, you know, I and my Father are one. And then he said, you know, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you know, there's going to be a union there. There's a oneness together, you know, in that relationship. And then he also said, if any man receives me, he says, then my Father will also come and make his abode. You know, so there's a definite joining together. There's a union there. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then we as believers, we are participants of that incredible union. See, that's what's so awesome about the gospel. I mean, it's just, you know, it's Steven Spielberg could not have devised a plan like this or a storyline like this. You know, it's the wisdom of Almighty God, and it's so incredibly awesome. The third thing is to grow in the Christ life is to have your new nature become dominant in your lifestyle in order to reflect Jesus Christ. Now, all of us, if we would be honest here tonight, we would all say, well, there's times in my life where I've not really reflected the Lord. You know, you might have, you know, got mad at your spouse, or, you know, I like the story of a guy that that I know, and he had kind of a tendency to, you know, have little outbursts from time to time. And he went into the AT&T store, and they, you know, there was some discrepancies with his bill and his phone, and he had all these problems, and, you know, and then he goes in there, and then, you know, sometimes dealing with customer service people, they're not having the best day either, right? So take that into the equation. And then he just, you know, the person that was helping him was not really helping him very much, and then he just kind of exploded in a fit of anger. And while he's, you know, while he is exploding in this fit of anger, his phone rings, and his ringtone is "When You Call on Jesus." How many of you know that was God? That was God reprimanding him, right there. So he. Y'all know that song, I think it's Yolanda Adams, you know, "When You Call on Jesus." So he goes out of the store, he got in his truck. He said he was so convicted, he had to get out of his truck, went back in there, and had to apologize to that lady. So you see, that new nature is not always dominant. You know, there are slip-ups, right? There are slip-ups. But the more we grow, the deeper that we go in this Christ life, those, you see, we get past that because the maturity brings us past that. Amen? It brings us past that. And that's not to say you'll never, ever have a, you know, have a flesh conniption, because I'm sure, you know, there's always the potential for that, you know? But the more you grow, the deeper that Christ life is becoming on the inside of you. You begin to rise above all of those things because that life is dominating you, and that's what's so awesome about it. You know, so this spiritual growth principle, you know, the key to spiritual growth, you know, there's things that we have to do. Here's a great verse. I love this one, Philippians 3:10, Amplified Bible. He says, "And this, so that I may know Him experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with Him, understanding the remarkable wonders of His person more completely, and in that same way experience the power of His resurrection." Look at what this statement says, "which overflows and is active in believers." That is so awesome, which overflows. See, he's talking about this Christ life, that I may know him experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him and understanding the wonders of his person more completely. And then we begin to experience the power of his resurrected life. And it is that life that overflows and is active. And he goes on and he says, and that I may share the fellowship of his sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, to his death, dying as he did. You know, that's an incredible verse of scripture. And it really, really sums up the principle of spiritual growth. Because it's all based upon what it says right here. Experientially and becoming thoroughly acquainted with Jesus. The more you know Jesus, the more awesome your life is going to be. Because his life, just like it says here, is going to overflow out of you because it's active in you. Now think of that. It's going to overflow out of you because it's active in you. You know, so that's why, you know, we have to grow spiritually. Jesus gives us the invitation when he said this in Matthew 11:28. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you ever thought about that? It's a very popular verse of scripture. Have you ever thought about that? Who is he talking about when he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden? Is he talking about poor people? He's not just talking about poor people, right? You know, is he talking about underprivileged people? You know, who is he talking about? Come to me, he says, all you who labor and are heavy laden. In other words, all of those who are beat down by this sin world in which we live. You know, and the sin life that it produces. You know, everybody that is frustrated with life as it is and knows that there has to be something more, something better. That's the ones Jesus is inviting. He says, if you come to the end of yourself and you're at the end of your rope, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. In other words, it's really an invitation to salvation, is what it is. You know, it's an invitation to salvation. Jesus is saying, try me, and you will find that I am everything that you need, and I provide everything that you need. And what an incredible invitation. All right. I know our time gets away so rapidly. I don't know how I'm going to do lesson 2 and 3, man. It's because there's so much to cover in that. But we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll get it done. But let me just finish up here on section 3. How do we grow spiritually? You know, how do we do it? In order to grow in spirit, we must have spiritual food. So, again, brings us back. That's why I said I might start sounding a little bit like a broken record here. But it brings us back to the importance of this book we call the Bible. In order to grow in spirit, we must have spiritual food. Even as bread nourishes the body, the Word of God nourishes the spirit. Jesus said this in response, we were making a reference to the devil's assault upon Jesus in the wilderness. And here was Jesus rebuking him and saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That was a direct quote from the book of Deuteronomy that Jesus quoted here. Jesus always quoted from the Old Testament because that was the only Bible they had. You know, that was the only scripture that they had, was the Old Testament. You know, the books of the law and the Psalms and, you know, and the prophets. You know, so those were the verses that Jesus would quote. And this is a direct quote from the book of Deuteronomy, where we are told specifically, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus, you can see, he's using the word of God to defeat the works of darkness. So you and I can also use the word of God to defeat the works of darkness in our lives. just like Jesus did. You know, but how many of you know he was born into this world, but he was not born into this world with his spiritual mind programmed? Does everybody realize that? He didn't have it programmed supernaturally. He had to learn it. He had to grow. And that's why the Bible says, if you go back to Luke 2, it says that Jesus, he grew. He waxed strong in spirit. He was growing spiritually. He was familiarizing himself with the Word of God. Even though he was the Son of God, it was not pre-programmed into his mind. He had to learn it. Amen? He had to learn it. Now, the anointing of God came upon him, and then he began to speak the Word of God. But from a child, he had to learn the Word of God. He had to study the law and then be able to quote it, because it wasn't just programmed in his mind at that age. Now, I know that kind of presents an interesting thought there, you know, because he was the Son of God, and he did begin to speak the Word of God, you know, and he said that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life, John 6:63. Amen? But I'm talking about as a boy. You know, when he was disputing with the doctors and the lawyers, and the doctors, it wasn't physicians, that was the high educated people of the law, that they were educated, they knew they had mastered the Old Testament scriptures, and Jesus was disputing with them concerning the law. But I'm here to tell you, he studied it as a child, as a boy, he studied it, and then he spoke. You know, like this right here in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then the one I just quoted, John 6:63, the Spirit gives life. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. All right, so I am convinced that Jesus, in his days, you know, that he definitely meditated on the Word of God. I really truly believe that he committed himself to the Word of God, you know, because that was part of Jewish culture. That was part of being a Jew, you know, that they the law of God, you know, particularly the first five books of Moses, or the first five books of Old Testament, books of Moses, those were so important to the life of a Jew because that covered everything. It covered religious life. It covered civil life. It covered ceremonial life. I mean, you know, everything. It covered all of that. So that was very important to their culture. And I know that Jesus definitely spent time pouring himself over those scriptures, because spiritual growth occurs when you read and meditate on God's Word. All right, so if the Bible says that he was growing in spirit, then what was he doing to grow? You see what I'm saying? You know, he was doing something to grow. It didn't just happen automatically. So the same principle applies to you and I. If we're going to grow spiritually, it's not going to just happen automatically. You know, as great a preacher as I am, forgive my humility. Y'all know I'm just having a little fun. You know, but as much as you may listen to the preached word, that is not going to really grow you spiritually. It's going to help you. It's going to help in the spiritual growth process. But that alone will not do it. It won't do it. You know, and it didn't do it for Jesus. You know, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This is the only place in all of the Bible where we find the word success. And isn't that interesting? That it's tied into the Word of God. That the Word of God will produce success in our lives. Now, you know, success, the way the world defines it, is quite differently from the way God defines it. You know, because God defines it from spirit perspective. The world defines it from the things that you can accomplish and produce in life, you know. But from God's perspective, he's talking about being successful in fulfilling his will, his plan and his purpose. He said, you'll be prosperous and you'll have good success. And then Psalms 1:1-3, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. There's the word meditate again. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in its season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I don't find that the Bible says that my daily Facebook shall cause me great success, or my delight in Facebook, or Twitter, or whatever else we want to put in there. Right? None of that does it. You know, it's meditating in the Word of God. And the Bible says he'll be like a tree. The word meditate, it means to muse over or to ponder. In other words, think about it. When you find that little word, Selah, in the book of Psalms. Y'all know that word? It appears after many of the Psalms. You know what that word means in the Hebrew? It means stop, think about it, and consider what you just read. That's what it means. So in other words, meditate on what you just read. So whenever you find that Selah at the end of a verse in Psalms, there's something real important there. You know, not that any of the others are not, but some of them do have an extra emphasis. You know, so we have to meditate, muse over, ponder. All right, the third thing, to grow spiritually, we must learn to apply the Word of God in our daily living. James 1, he says, be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and he forgets what kind of man he was. In other words, he doesn't really see himself for what he really is. But the Word of God enables us to see ourselves for what we really are. You know, and that's the challenge right here. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we have to be doers of the Word. And if we are doers of the Word, then we are going to reap the benefit of it. All right, so, you know, when we go through the Word of God, and I would encourage everyone, have a devotional plan. There's so many things available today. I mean, you can go to the gospel bookstore, or if you do your stuff online, you can order and get so many different things. I mean, there's so much out there today that would even take you through, you know, the Bible in a whole year. You know, have your reading of a section of Old Testament, New Testament, but a devotional book or even a devotional Bible. That helps because it presents some seed thoughts about the scriptures that you read and helps to increase understanding. And let me just say this too. You know, there's so many different Bibles. I mean, the Bibles are like Baskin Robbins. There's 31 different flavors. You know, there's so many out there. But everybody should have, you know, the two main Bibles, there is what is called a reference Bible, and then there is what is called a study Bible. You know, a reference Bible does not have any notes in it, but what it does have, it'll have either a center column or an outside column, and it will connect verses of the New Testament to verses of the Old Testament. Or if you're reading in the Old Testament, it'll give you references in that column of that verse to verses that would have a spiritual connection in the New Testament. So those are good Bibles, but everybody should have a study Bible, because a study Bible is a Bible that has commentary, and it's got. I like this one. I use this one a lot. Most of my preaching I do out of the Parallel Bible, because I have the New King James on one side, then I have the Amplified Bible on the other. But that's kind of my preaching Bible. But this Bible, for example, the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible, is an excellent resource. And it's got commentary in it. It's got some word wealth. Just like I give, you know, definitions of words. You know, I'm real big on word studies. And, you know, a lot of what I share in those word studies is simply taken from the Strong's Concordance and the Biblical Dictionary associated with that for both Old Testament and New Testament. But this Bible is an excellent resource. And you can pick up this Bible in leather for probably about $50, I guess. A hard copy you probably get for $30. But everybody should have, you know, some study Bible that gives some commentary, because it'll help you in your devotional life. Because if we're gonna be serious about spiritual growth, we have to be serious about the Bible. I mean, that just goes without saying, right? And everything we're reading here, we could see the emphasis, right? How do we grow spiritually? You can't grow without the book. You can't grow without the Word. You've got to have the Word. And that's why we are a Word-focused church. Amen. You come here, you're going to get the Word. You're going to get the Gospel. It's going to be preached. It's going to be declared. And we believe that it's the Word of God that changes people's lives. All right, so the last thing, I know our time is away from us already. The last thing, number four, how much we grow and how fast we grow is determined by what we invest. And here's the principle for that, 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, we always look at that verse and apply it in the area of giving. And, of course, it has the application there. But the application is not just for giving. The application is for every area of our life. You know, whatever we invest in, wherever we sow, you know, if we don't sow any time into church life, you know, then we're not going to reap the benefit of that. If we don't sow any time in the Word of God, we're not going to reap the benefit of that. You know, so however you sow is going to be determined by how fast you grow. You know, so if you want to, you know, if you want to grow fast, I'm going to tell you, when I became a born-again child of God, my spiritual growth was very fast. And the reason why it was very fast is because I was studying the Bible constantly. I mean, I was just devouring it and devouring, learning and growing and doing Bible studies And I really believe that's what Jesus did as a young kid. You know, I believe that he applied himself and immersed himself in the Scriptures, and that's why the Bible says that he was growing strong in spirit. He waxed strong, as the King James Bible says, he waxed strong in spirit. He was growing spiritually. So if we want to grow spiritually, we are going to have to put forth the investment. We're going to have to sow our lives to grow. Not saying it's easy, because it's not. Because everybody's trying to juggle everything. You're trying to take care of work and jobs and careers and family and marriage and, you know, and all the things that that we are trying to balance. You know, it's not easy, but it's like Jesus said, you know, put the Lord thy God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all other things will be added to us. Again, he didn't say that's going to be easy. You know, it's going to take some conscious effort. We're going to have to have our mind focused, you know, to move forward and to grow in the things of God. But if we do it, we are going to reap the benefit of it, you know. And I'm telling you, our life will not be the same. You know, it will not be the same, because when you grow spiritually, there is a transformation that is taking place, and it's just awesome. And you will become, people will be amazed of how different you and I are. You know, but it's all because of the Jesus who is growing on the inside. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's commit this to God tonight. We appreciate y'all coming out. I think this is a good attendance for our first night, and I'm sure we'll have more that will join us. And we do have 5 Wednesdays in January, so we had our prayer service last week. So So this will take us till the end of January. I think actually it's January 31st is the last Wednesday, if I'm remembering correctly. So we're starting the month off right, starting the year off right. Amen? Because we're getting focused. We're getting focused. And we're going to grow. You know, and I'm committed to your growth. And I'm committed to do everything that I know to do and that I have the ability to do to grow you. And we're going to grow. And we're going to grow together. And as that happens, I'm telling you, you know, this church is going to explode with growth because we're going to reproduce. And when there's reproduction, then there's multiplication. Amen? And that's why I'm so pumped up, because I know what God has spoken to me of what's going to happen this year. And I'm really, really, really believing God for awesome, awesome things.